San Francisco isn't recognized as one of the fashion capitals of the world, but it's definitely known for its quirky style. Fashion in the Bay Area is as varied as the people who live here, from the downtown conservative suits to steampunk, goth, dapper, boho chic, to the comfort of just whatever happens to be clean. We went to the streets to ask some people about their sense of style.
My name's Cassie Kite.
My name is Mauricio. My last name is Ortiz.
My name is Kiana Nicole Henderson.
Michelangelo Capraro is my name.
My name is Richard Hargraves.
I am wearing boots and yoga pants and a sweatshirt.
I could tell how much money a person got by the way he dresses. Casual, color coordinates, and all this and that.
Boots are very popular out here, especially amongst the girls, because they're really cute, and you can wear them. Well, we tend to wear them all seasons, winter, summer. You know, you'll put it with some little short shorts or a skirt or a dress.
I'm wearing some jeans, a blue jacket, a polka dot shirt, and a blue polka dot tie and some brown boots.
I like to wear suits. One of my goals in life is to be able to wear 30 suits in 30 days.
I accidentally grabbed the wrong hat. I grabbed my Giants hat. I was supposed to grab my Niner hat.
You know, they say look good, feel good. I'm a church-going man. The attention that you get from people other than, you know, walking down the street, because I had the SAG life as well, and it gives a different type of attention.
This is my comfortable look with the tank tops and the hooded sweatshirt with some bling, because I got to have some bling.
And bling can sometimes be found in unexpected places.
I felt like a superhero because I had a chrome one. The back was chrome, the front was black, and it just looked really cool, a RoboCop-ish, and I just loved it.
That's Deborah Bevilacqua, who wears a prosthetic limb. But it may not be like the limbs you've seen before. Traditionally, limbs were designed to be mechanical and practical, not shaped like an actual leg. They weren't meant to be fashionable, just functional. Now, one San Francisco company's trying to change that by combining the growing technology of 3D printing with the expertise of industrial designers to blur the line between fashion and medicine. KLW's Angela Johnston brings us the story.
That's the socket. That is the aluminum thing.
When Deborah Bevilacqua lost her leg in a motorcycle accident 10 years ago, she had to get a prosthetic leg.
It's a rubber ball.
It's been functional, she says, but it's not pretty.
It's bulky, and it's a big black bulky thing with a big black bulky other thing attached to it. And then a big gray metal bulbous ball that's for rotation and shock, but looks kind of like Epcot Center. And then, doesn't it? And then this huge metal, I think that's aluminum. This huge metal aluminum thing. And then, look, the prosthetist put a sticker of his logo on here for some reason. I don't know why that's there. It's kind of in case I lose it, I guess, which is good. And then these little metal pylons.
As we sit in her room in Alameda, Bevilacqua shows me how her new leg works.
The foot down here, which actually is a new foot and kind of cool looking because it's curved, carbon fiber curved, kind of like a running blade. So it has a lot of spring.
Which is great for the triathlons and races Bevilacqua loves to compete in. But, she says, it's not easy to wear a prosthetic and be fashionable.
They're awful. I think for women, wearing a prosthetic is a really difficult thing because these feet, these hideous, ugly feet. I'll show you. This is the thing that makes me the most mad. So it's just an out-of-the-box foot. And as you can see, it gets scuff marks that do not come off. So you're just stuck with this thing. You can't wear flip-flops or because it doesn't have a split toe.
So when a San Francisco startup called Bespoke was looking for amputees to test out their 3D-printed prosthetic coverings, Bevilacqua was in. She was asked to help design a fashionable, realistic covering that surrounds the metal pole of her prosthetic leg. It's called a fairing. She showed her design ideas to the head of the company.
I sent him a bunch of surrealistic images. Oh, and I'm sure he was like, what is this stuff? How do you take this, like Salvador Dali and Duchamp, and turn it into fairing.
And after a long process of coming up with the perfect design, Bevilacqua walked away with a fairing that had her style written all over it. A black lace pattern on the front and a shiny chrome back. It gave her leg its natural shape again. She bought skirts and dresses for the first time in years. It looks really cool.
I just loved it. I just immediately started wearing short skirts and going to the movies and just watching people's reactions to it, which was really fun.
Now, Bevilacqua has 4 different fairings, which she can change based on her mood, activity, or outfit.
I might not have the very first one. It's like a drawer full of legs. My favorite one has metal on the back. I don't know where it is. It could be in there. It used to be attached to my bike leg, which was really awesome because you're riding my bike and this shiny silver chrome leg and with like black lace on the front. Oh, that looked pretty badass.
Bevilacqua says that after she started wearing fairings, she noticed some changes about herself as well.
I felt like I got a lot of confidence from wearing the leg. Before that, I would just cover up and pretend I wasn't an amputee and didn't want anyone to know. And then I just wanted to show my leg off because it was just so amazing looking. So I think it's sort of therapy. It definitely was for me.
This feeling of empowerment is one of the reasons why Bespoke's founder, Scott Summit, started the company back in 2008.
This was one of the first applications we did. This was for a 1-year-old who had fallen down the stairs and broken her tibia. So we 3D printed this as an experiment to see if it would work.
Summit gives me a tour of Bespoke, which is now a part of a larger 3D printing company called 3D Systems. It's located in a converted apartment in San Francisco's SoMa neighborhood. They experiment with everything from 3D printed fabric, pottery, prosthetic fairings, and scoliosis braces, like the one Summit designed for a 1-year-old girl.
We scanned her and printed this, and she wore it for her healing process. When she was done, she was not only healed, she didn't want to give her brace back.
These braces and casts rest on top of shelves in the office, and sometimes when you open the dishwasher in their kitchen, you can find a couple of 3D printed arms and legs next to the coffee mugs. Washing them makes the plastic stronger. After an amputee decides they want a Bespoke fairing, they have to get scanned in person with a small scanner the size of a paperback book. Chad Crittenton lost his leg to cancer in 2002. He came into the Bespoke offices a few years after to get fitted for his first fairing.
So what we've done is we've taken a scan, a 3D scan of my sound side leg, of my left leg in this case. The scan creates a computer-assisted design file on the computer like you've seen on TV, that thing that goes around 360 degrees. We do the mirror image or the reverse image of that sound side leg and create a fairing shape of the non-existent lower limb and calf.
Capturing every curve and shape of the leg. Then the 3D scanned image is sent to a computer where designers can add detail with any type of patterns and cutouts. Designs that are influenced by everything from nature and historical fabrics, architecture, or things that are important to the amputee.
I have the one that I'm wearing now. It's just kind of a tattoo pattern. I have one of the very first ones. It was just circular shapes. I like the circle motif in art, and then there's my soccer fairing as well.
Crittenton is now the sales manager at Bespoke and 3D Systems. Before we met, he was in Boston scanning the legs of the Boston Marathon bombing victims. Crittenton has 4 different fairings, and he's always looking for inspiration for his next.
I was recently in Lithuania, and I was walking along the street and saw some amazing manhole covers. And these patterns were just incredible.
According to the founder, Scott Summit, the idea is not to make the fairing look exactly like a human leg.
Because you can't. That's flesh and blood. So we instead try to say that we're making something that's unapologetically man-made. It's beautiful, it looks completely appropriate on the person, but it doesn't try to be that person.
Once the designer and an amputee agree upon the design, the final file is digitally sent to a large room of 3D printers.
This is the lovely, wonderful machine that we print all the fairings on.
The printer is massive. Summit tells me it cost about $800,000. It's about the size of a walk-in closet and has a tiny glass window to watch the transformation happening inside. Lasers move quickly back and forth and build a solid shape out of nylon dust. And from all of this dust, out comes an entire fairing in one piece.
These are strong. They'll survive anything.
But 3D printing isn't cheap, and neither are bespoke fairings. It costs $4,000 for a basic leg, $6,000 for additional leathers or metals or designs. Summit's goal is to streamline and lower the cost of making a fairing so anyone can do it anytime. So someone like Chad Crittenton can use just an iPad to make a new fairing whenever he wants to change up his style. Back in the 3D printing room, Chad Crittenton shows me how easy it is to put his fairing on his prosthetic leg. But it's when Crittenton takes his fairing off that he notices the biggest change.
I realized that it looked cool, but what I didn't realize is that subconsciously or sort of internally, I was seeing this symmetry and the sort of formation of my non-existent limb. So it was sort of restoring my shape. And psychologically, I think that was pretty important to get that back. Once we took it off, I realized I wanted to get that back on. I felt this sort of need to get that back there.
It gave him more of himself back, a renewed sense of confidence and self-control.
I'm out there to show this, and I'm not trying to hide anything. So that allows people to come up and ask about it and starts a conversation, and it really begins to bring down those barriers between those with disabilities and the mainstream.
Something that's possible with this unique combination of medicine, technology, and fashion. In San Francisco, for Cross Currents, I'm Angela Johnston.